Welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Bretall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's Previews catalog.
The comics we'll be discussing in this episode are from the July 2008 previews. These are predominantly going to ship in September 2008. And, Bob, did you notice they've started putting an issue number on previews?
I did not, but now that you have mentioned it, I'm looking at the front of previews, and I am seeing Volume 13, number 7. I thought that there was always a...
That they've always done, but look at the spine at the bottom. This is issue 238.
Okay. I did not notice that at all. Okay, on the spine.
Yeah, I don't know how long they've been doing that. That's kind of funny.
238 months. That's a
It's longer than a hell of a lot of comics have been going.
Yep.
So we've got a ton of submissions this month, which I think is great, because there are a couple of these items I'm undecided on myself, so I'm going to be listening to the submissions and trying to figure out if I want to add them to my list or not. But we've got...
Yeah, I can easily be swayed one way or another, like you said, and I have in the past chosen to get something because of a really good sales job one of our contributors has made on why they're passionate about a particular book coming out.
Yeah, and to me that's part of the point of doing these episodes, is to get, you know, information from other people on what they're getting and why. Because it's easy for stuff to get lost in the you know, 500-plus pages of previews and the additional 100-plus pages of the Marvel previews.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of stuff to go through. For me, I'm entertained. You know, and a lot of people, they say, man, I don't want to buy the previews catalog. I won't pay for an ad, and I hate, you know, this kind of stuff. For me, I get a tremendous amount of entertainment by reading through the previews catalog. I love just seeing all the different comics that are coming out and just all the variety and looking at the pictures and, you know, what's coming, especially in the back half. You know, that's the stuff where in many cases I'm never going to see that stuff just laying out on a store shelf if I wander into a shop. So if I don't see it there and get interested by it and ask my shop owner to get it for me, I'm never going to see that.
Yeah.
You know, and then even beyond the comics, you know, looking through, and I don't get most of it, but, you know, looking at the different pictures of toys and DVDs and T-shirts and games and trading cards and all these things that are coming out. I mean, I don't buy trading cards anymore, but I like looking at what different trading cards are coming out, you know, and I get the Bowen statues, but there's lots of other statues and toys, and I might even get a hint, like I'm not going to order them necessarily through previews, but if I see some action figure line that's coming out, I might know, okay, well, that's something I want to look for at, you know, Target or Toys R Us or something. But I just find the previews catalog to be probably the best entertainment value for my dollar of anything that I get, because I literally spend hours every month going through the previews catalog, even outside of the context of when we're doing the shows and the Skype call. I just love looking through the thing.
Yeah, I find it very informative, and it's just cool to see what the publishers are coming out with, what kind of is a popular trend at the moment, what's not. You know, because we'll go through the periods where suddenly everybody and their dog's doing a zombie thing because they think that's why Walking Dead's successful, or for whatever reason. Or then we get a bunch of werewolf titles, or we'll get a lot of, you know, stuff set in the Revolutionary War. And it's interesting to see kind of what the, I don't want to say the hive mind, but, you know, what's kind of percolating in the creators' minds at any given time.
Ape covers.
Exactly. Monkeys are hot right now.
Yeah. This issue is anything to go by. We're going to see lots of ape covers on the racks. And not ape entertainment, sorry, but this is Marvel apes. They're coming.
Yeah.
Well, baboon in a Captain America outfit is your thing, then September will be your month.
Yeah. Well, we've got submissions from a number of different podcasts this month. We've got stuff from people who are involved with 11 O'Clock Comics, Comic Timing, DeFixer's Hideout, Geek Brunch, Geeks Unite, Half Hour Wasted, and Cryptographics. And one of the other things I enjoy about these episodes is, again, hearing from so many different voices and getting so many different podcasts represented. Hopefully this will get some people interested in checking out those other podcasts, because there's a lot of great stuff going on in these shows. I mean, I've listened to a number of Comic Timing. Well, I've been on a number of Comic Timing episodes and stuff. Ian does a great job there. The Half Hour Wasted guys have a nice, you know, time-limited, you know, show of half hour each time or whatever, and except when they go into the movies and a few things.
Yeah, they go over sometimes, just like we always shoot for a half hour on our weekly spotlight and sometimes slop over into a little extra time. What I like about these different podcasts is each one has a really unique feel to it. And you can check these out, and if you're entertained by how they are, because not all of them are, you know, like Half Hour Wasted is like just fun. You know, they do, you know, they have a certain fun style to the show. And, you know, 11 O'Clock Comics, the whole thing there is they're at 11 o'clock at night and they're drinking, you know, so they're talking about comics, so you never know what's coming there. And it's all of them, you know, have their own different style to them, and it's worth checking them out because different ones are going to appeal to different people, and you can see what they're like, and if there's something that seems really entertaining to you, add them to your download queue.
Yeah, definitely.
So do you want to start out this month? The first thing that caught my eye this month was on page 21 of the previews catalog, and that is the Halloween mini comics. It is that time of year. It's only July, but if you want to have some mini comics to hand out to the kids on Halloween, now's the time to go to your shop and order bundles of 25 of these mini comics. And I've been doing this for the last at least 3 or 4 years, where you get these comics, and I get such pleasure from a lot of these kids. Their eyes light up when they see that I'm giving out little comics. You know, they really want that. They're cool comics, you know. So last year I got the Uncle Scrooge and the Marvel one. They don't have a Marvel one this year, but they do have Archie. They have a Bone one that I'll be getting. They've got Peanuts, Donald Duck, and a manga called Kawa. So the price that's in previews here on page 21, it's $3 for a bundle of 25. I am told that that is the retailer's cost for that bundle. So your retailer, if you ask, and you're not going to – I have never seen these on the rack for sale at the retailer. So if you want to get these, you need to go to your local shop and ask them specifically to order you a couple of these bundles. Now, they might charge you a little more here because I think, again, the $3 is their cost. So maybe they might charge you $4. Maybe they'll charge you $5, whatever. But it's definitely a good deal. You get 25 of these comics. Even at, you know, $5, that's only like 20 cents a piece. It's about the cost of a candy bar. And you can give a comic to kids. Now, I usually will give a piece of candy and the comic, but I, you know, whatever I can do to convert kids into the comics is something that I really want to try to do. And this is a great way to do it. And again, if you want to do it for Halloween, make sure you go to your shop and ask them. Say, hey, this is something I'm interested in seeing. Check it out, page 21 of previews.
And with our first submission, we've got Jason Wood talking about End League from Dark Horse. So let's listen to that.
Hi, John and Bob. This is Jason Wood bringing you my first pick of the month. I want to turn your attention to the Dark Horse section, page 31 to be specific, talking about End League number 6, which is written by Rick Remender, who is quickly becoming one of my favorite new writers. Just about everything the guy pens each month, I'm just absolutely adoring. He has a real wit about him. He tells very fast-paced, exciting stories, but there's humor, there's adventure, and he really knows how to make it serious at times, too, to, I think, keep the balance. Anyway, N-League is a creator-owned property of his. As I said, this is issue number 6. It's been going on for some time. Effectively, it takes us to a universe where the superheroes lose, and evil triumphs, and as a result, there are almost no superheroes left in the world, and the few that do exist are barely surviving, because they are really have the odds stacked against them. The reason I'm mentioning this month is that we have a new artist on board as of last month, and his name is Eric Canetti. Now, it's difficult enough for some of the smaller press books to maintain sales, and I just wanted to mention this because I really hope that the delay in between the changeover to the new artist doesn't hurt sales. Eric Canetti is an excellent artist, and while I very much enjoyed Broom's work, he was the artist in the first few issues, I think Canetti's work actually is going to be as good, if not better, in many ways, and I think it's great. The other thing about N-League is this is an ongoing story, and I would imagine that either with this issue or the next, we'll be wrapping up this arc and picking up a new one. So just wanted to call your attention to it. Again, it's N-League number 6 by Rick Remender and Eric Canetti. It's 22 pages, $2.99, and I'm sure a nice discount on DCB service this month. Thanks very much, guys, and be sure to give a listen to 11 O'Clock Comics. Myself, Chris Niesman, Vince B., and David Price record every Wednesday night. 4 guys, some liquor, and some comic talk. Hopefully you guys are listening and enjoy the show. Take care.
And N-League number 6 can be found on page 31 of the previews catalog, and the art does look good. Now, on page 42, still in the Dark Horse section, we've got Star Wars Legacy number 28. We've got a 50% off discount through DCBS. And this is the final chapter of the Vector crossover storyline. And this is now moving, I guess, another 4,000 years. I guess it already moved 4,000 years into from the past to the present. Now it's moving into the far future for the descendants of the Skywalkers. And I've been following this. I've been jumping from title to title as it goes and really enjoying it. It's a good, solid storyline. It's doing some interesting stuff. I'd only been following the Knights of the Old Republic prior to this, and it fit in beautifully with that. It didn't seem to be okay, let's pause and do this crossover thing. It was, you know, an organic part of it. And I found the transition from Knights of the Old Republic to Dark Times to be a very smooth transition and kind of a good introduction to that title, too. So if you're into the Star Wars stuff, this is definitely worth checking out. They're doing a very interesting approach to kind of a crossover storyline. They're doing a good job, and you know, it's like I said, definitely worth checking out. And that's pretty much what we've got for Dark Horse this month. Next up, we've got a couple of selections from Umar from DeFixer's Hideout. So let's listen to those.
This is DeFixer coming to you live from the Hideout, and I'm talking about a couple of solicits coming from DC for September of 2008. I think you guys should be aware of. Okay, Secret Six number 1 is starting, written by Gail Simone with art by Nicola Scott and Doug Hazelwood, and a cover by Cliff Chiang. And it reads, "Because you demanded it, the Secret Six are back in an all-new ongoing series that promises to deliver some of the darkest, most twisted action adventure the DC Universe has ever seen since, well, the last time the Secret Six got together. Writer extraordinaire Gail Simone, when they put Birds of Prey in brackets, is reunited with Birds Princeler Nicola Scott to chronicle the adventures of the Six, and you will not believe what they have in store. Join Catman, Scandal, Deadshot, Ragdoll, and ... as they prepare for an adventure that will take them through a gauntlet across the seediest parts of the DC Universe, and will ultimately pit them against a foe more monstrous and murderous than any they've had to face. Don't miss the beginning of the most ferocious and scandalous Six story ever. On sale September 3rd, 32 pages at $2.99. I really liked the Secret Six first series. I thought it was fun, action-packed. It was DC Universe at its funnest. It was tied into the Infinite Crisis or the Identity Crisis thing, but it was still fun on its own. And it took some B-list villains and made them cool. And of course, Deadshot's in it, so, you know, you can't go wrong with a Deadshot story. Another September solicit from DC is the Tangent Comics Superman's Reign, number 7, written by Dan Jurgens and Ron Mars, art by Jamal Igel and Robin Riggs with Fernando Passerin, cover by Andy Tong, and the plot synopsis blurb reads Batman, the DCU's greatest detective, and the Batman, Tangent's mystical Avenger, must work together to attack the Superman's empire. It's on sale September 17th. It's number 7 of a 12-issue maxi series, and, of course, cover price $2.99. Well, I remember the Tangent comics when they came out in the 90s. A lot of the companies were doing a lot of experimental comics, and Tangent was one of those experiments to come out. There was a couple of them, you know, a couple of crazy ultimate what if DCU or Marvel was written in another way, but Tangent was one of DC's attempts. I believe it had an Elseworlds tag. I'm not sure on that. I had to pull it from the long boxes. I thought Tangent was going to be a part of the Infinite Crisis thing. They seem to have hinted at it, but the hints led to this miniseries, and this miniseries or maxi-series, depending on how you look at it, seems to stand on its own. It's a good mix, it has some good characterization, and most of all, it's a lot of fun. If you're going to spend $2.99, you want to know, are you getting anything for your dollar? And I think you get a good story, and you get a lot of fun from the book, and the mixing up of the heroes from the two different universes is a wet dream of every fanboy, including me, so I'm recommending this book highly. I'm having fun with it. The next DC solicit I wanted to talk about for September is Jack Kirby's The Demon, Omnibus Hardcover, written, of course, by Jack Kirby, art and cover by Jack Kirby and Mike Royer, and the synopsis blurb says, one of Jack King Kirby's most memorable creations returns in this title, collecting the entire original 16-issue series from the early 1970s. Part Man, part Elemental Fury, Etrigan the Demon, was bound to Jason Blood by Merlin to defend Camelot, only to become a demonologist in the modern-day DC universe. I was introduced to the Demon with Alan Moore's Swamp Thing. There was a two-part story in which the Demon was involved, and that's how I came to know him. You know, you would see DC comics, you'd see the Demon, but I was a Marvel guy kind of sort of, with only buying a few DC before Crisis on Infinite Earth, so I didn't really know about the Demon. But when you read Swamp Thing, it was so awesome. You got a taste of a lot of the DC universe as Alan Moore would write it, and there was a certain expectation after that, and it got real interesting. The Demon had its own series some time ago. Some people remember it, and it was a lot of fun. It's a crazy book, but a lot of fun. So I would suggest that if you want to go back to the roots of DC, one of DC's most powerful mystical creatures, the Demon, who has a very interesting backstory, you know, and they tie it to Camelot, and I thought that was interesting. They tie it to Merlin. Pick up this hardcover. Plus, the fact is Jack Kirby, so you can't go wrong. I like DC's omnibuses, their color, and I prefer, if you're going to collect the books, collect them in color. That's just my thing. Well, that was my suggestions for the solicits coming out for September of 2008. This is The Fixer, live from the Hideout. Thank you very much for letting me put my two cents into things, and you guys have a good Wednesday with great comics. Peace.
Yeah, those are some great picks. I'm glad to see that the Secret Six are going to get an ongoing series. That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really liked the previous take on those characters, and this team, I'm looking forward to seeing that book, so good one. And the Demon is also a good choice. That is 50% off through DCBS this month also, so that makes it reasonably priced as well.
Okay, next up we've got a pick from Rafe. Let's listen to that.
Hey, comic book pages, this is Raph, the host of Geeks Unite, and this is my return to the comic book page previews episode. This is September 2008 releases, and my first pick out of four, count them four this time, is Superman number 680, Crypto to the Rescue, on page 67 of your previews, on sale September 24th, hopefully. It's by James Robinson and Renato Guedes, covered by Alex Ross. And the cover is beautiful. It's Crypto sort of aping that heroic Superman pose, looking off in the distance. And it's Crypto. Come on. Can you get better than Crypto? It's Atlas Part 4. The grand finale of the Atlas epic finds Superman's foe seemingly victorious. With Superman down for the count, who can stand in the way of the city's supposed new ruler? Enter Crypto, Superman's best friend, who will do anything to protect his master. Don't miss Crypto at his most heroic. A worthy addition to the Superman family, and a very good boy. Plus, a new magical character settles in Metropolis just when Superman needs him most. $2.99, probably going to be your typical 40% off at DCBS. That's $1.79 over there. And, yeah, I love Superman. Only Jamal Igoe and Mark Waid can claim to be bigger Superman fans than me, and if anyone else tries, I'll, snap their necks. Anyway, back to you, Bob and John. Disclaimer, I will not actually snap any necks for anyone that claims to be a bigger Superman fan than me.
That Alex Ross cover on that just looks amazing. So that should be a lot of fun. All right, next up, we've got a submission from Ian, so let's listen to that.
Hey, John and Bob, it's Ian Levinstein from the Comic Timing Podcast over at speakgeekspeak.com/comic timing, here with my picks of the month. This time, we'll start off with DC, and we will begin with the Joker hardcover. And this one is coming out by the team of Brian Azzarello and Lee, I believe it's Bermejo, and Mick Gray on the covers. And Brian Azzarello and Bermejo team together on the series Lex Luthor Man of Steel, which I was a real fan of. That one had sort of a painted look and a much more realistic style than you're used to seeing with a Superman book. In fact, I remember they gave Superman this raised S symbol that looked like it was almost made of steel itself, which looked pretty damn cool. Well, this time they're covering the Joker. And just from the cover alone, I am freaked out. I mean, the way that they make the Joker look on this one looks very, very scary and freaky. Obviously, this is going to be the month of Batman comics, which is ironic considering that I don't believe there's actually a Batman comic on the previews this month, a regular Batman, that is, for Grant Morrison. But what are you going to do? Instead, we got the Joker hardcover, which I'm certainly looking forward to. This one, regular price right now is $19.99. As I'm recording this, DCBS doesn't have their listings up, so I'm not going to give their. But Heroes Corner, I know, has it for $9.99, 50% off. Hopefully John and Bob can give the DCBS numbers once they actually have it. The product code is JUL080124. That's JUL080124. Joker hardcover, Brian Azzarello, and hopefully it will be as good as The Killing Joke. I doubt it, but what are you going to do? Take it away, guys.
At DCBS, it's got a 50% discount for that Joker hardcover.
Right, and this was one of our comic book page picks of the month for a special discount with DCBS. So we agree with Ian's assessment that this looks to be a great book and one I'm really looking forward to. And on a personal note, I am so happy that they're taking a story like this and just putting it out directly as an original graphic novel instead of putting it out as a mini series, which they then turn into a hardcover graphic novel reprint. You know, you've got a story to tell. It's ultimately going to be a long collected edition. Just go to collected edition.
Yeah, DC hasn't done that too much lately. They used to do it for the JLA Earth 2 and a few other things a number of years back. But I think it's a good thing for them to kind of get back into. And it should do fairly well as a hardcover, you know. So definitely should be interesting and worth checking out. Now, on page 70, we've got Batman and the Outsiders number 11. We've got a 50% discount at DCBS for this. And this is a tie-in to the Batman RIP storyline. It's part one of two for this. And basically, it's can the Outsiders exist without Batman, you know? They say there's going to be major turning points for two of the main characters. And they're definitely building up the Batman RIP storyline to be a major turning point, certainly for Batman, and now it looks like for some of the Outsiders. And I think a lot of people may just kind of skip over some of the tie-ins. I think they're doing some interesting stuff with Batman and the Outsiders. Certainly, they've got an interesting mix of characters. So if you're enjoying the Batman RIP storyline, or if you're enjoying Batman and the Outsiders, you know, this is a guest creative team for this two parts with Frank Thierry doing the writing and Ryan Benjamin doing the art. It's worth checking this out and seeing what you think. And then next up, we've got a pick from Frank from Half Hour Wasted. And let's listen to what he has to say.
Hi, this is Frank A. Rincon from a Half Hour Wasted podcast. I'd like to talk about Booster Gold number 12. It's going to be written by Chuck Dixon. He's best known for doing Batman. But the series as a whole, Booster Gold, I've really enjoyed, especially starting off with the first six, where we're looking at the DC history from different angles, from time-traveling guys to Time Masters, going back and seeing the DC history from a different set of eyes, and the whole return of Blue Beetle, so to speak, and the whole Time Masters angle is a lot of fun. I'm really curious how Booster Gold is going to fit into the whole Final Crisis situation, being that they're time traveling and stuff. I wonder if we're going to see some things that affect the DC universe from, again, looking at a different different angle of the history. I'd really like to suggest everyone to pick up. If they haven't, it's been a lot of fun. It'll be interesting to see what Chuck Dixon does with this. Again, this is the second part of a story arc for him. It's going to come out on September 10th, and it's going to be $2.99. So BG, Booster Gold, doesn't just stand for Bacon Grease. It isn't just a single member of the BGs. It's Booster Gold from DC.
So there you go. That's the Bacon Grease and single member of the BG. That's good. Thanks, Frank, for that. And you get more of that humor if you listen to Half Hour Wasted with Frank. And next up that we've got in previews, page 77, we've got Green Lantern number 35. Now, this is written by Jeff Johns, and lately Jeff can do no wrong in my eyes. I have loved what he's been doing with Green Lantern. I've loved what he's been doing on the Superman title in action. He is, in this issue 35, writing the conclusion to the secret origin of Hal Jordan, and it is a prelude to the Blackest Night storyline that will tie into this. And it is also going to have a little tie-in to the Rage of the Red Lanterns storyline that's coming up also. So if you have not been checking out Green Lantern, I believe you're making a mistake, because this is one of the best things that's coming out from DC. I would put it right at the top of the DC pile, and this is one of the comic book page picks of the month. We got 50% off at DCBS, and please check out Green Lantern by Jeff Johns if you have not been trying it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If you're a big DC fan and you're not reading some of Jeff Johns' books, go pick them up. Certainly Green Lantern, certainly Action Comics. I would say JSA as well. He is one of the main movers and shakers at DC these days and just doing a great job. On page 78, we've got a 50% discount through DCBS for Justice League of America number 25. This is written by Dwayne McDuffie, who I think is a horribly underrated writer. He's doing some great stuff on the Justice League these days. And this issue is going to dive into the mystery of what's going on with the powers for Vixen and Animal Man that had been, you know, animal-related and kind of expanded in scope quite a bit lately. And you know, the character interaction with the Justice Leaguers and stuff with Dwayne McDuffie is just some of the best I've seen in years. This seems to also be, you know, tying into some other big picture type stuff, and it looks like we're going to see, you know, the history of the Justice League changing a bit in this issue, and, you know, can they set it right, can they fix it, whatever. You know, this is an anniversary issue. It's going to be $3.99. Again, we've got a 50% discount. It is going to be 48 pages. If you haven't been checking out Dwayne McDuffie's Justice League stuff, this is a good place to jump on and to check it out. And next up, we've got a pick from Jason Wood. And this was a series I read when it first came out way back. Be interesting to see what Jason has to say on it, so let's listen to that.
Hey, John and Bob, this is Jason Wood bringing you another pick for the month. Want to turn your attention to something that I'm sure you both either own in single issues or probably going to be buying anyway, and that is the Camelot 3000 Deluxe Edition hardcover. Of course, this is by DC Comics, and it's found on page 82 of this month's previews. It's an advanced solicit, so it won't be available or shipped, I should say, until November 26th, so be mindful of that if you do order this. It's 320 pages, full color, and retail price is $34.99, so I'm assuming it will be offered from DCBS somewhere around, say, $20, give or take. Now, I would imagine that Camelot 3000 doesn't need much of an introduction for a lot of people listening to the show. This, of course, is the legendary series that was written by Mike W. Barr and penciled by the wonderful Brian Boland back in the early 80s. From a story standpoint, this is effectively a look at the Arthurian legend set in the far-flung future. Morgan Le Fay takes over the future in the year 3000, and as a result, King Arthur and his many knights of the Round Table jump into the future themselves with the help of Merlin to combat her and try and save the world. It's a story that, again, is legendary for both the significance of making, you know, I think Brian Boland a star. It also was one of the first series that was sold directly into the direct market for DC. And if I'm not mistaken, it actually was one of the first, if not the first, maxi series that DC put out. So lots of reasons to have this in your collection. If you started reading comics later than the early 80s when this was first printed, you probably don't have a collected edition of this, and this is a great opportunity to own just a fantastic 12-issue story. It's, as I said, it's not an ongoing beyond that, so it was all self-contained. It's wonderful from start to finish. It's a real beauty to behold, and just a fun, fun read. So give this one a read. You won't be sorry, particularly if you're at all a fan of Arthurian legend as I am. Again, this is on page 82 of this previews. It's $34.99 by Mike Barr and Brian Boland. And again, this is an advance solicit, so if you order this, don't get concerned when you don't get it in your box 2 months from now. But believe me, when you get it around Thanksgiving time, you'll be oh so happy while you sit there and eat turkey and read Brian Boland beautiful goodness.
Did you pick this up back in the day, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Another first that I believe this was a first in that Jason did not mention is I believe this was the first book to suffer from Civil War syndrome.
Yeah.
Which was the last issue was something like a year or more after, you know, like issue 12 was really delayed. And when I was reading it monthly at the time, I pretty much by the time issue 12 came out, it was a great series, but I couldn't remember what the hell had gone on in issue 1 through 11 pretty much by the time 12 came out. I remember it was a tremendous series, though, and I'm going to be buying this hardcover just so I can read it all again in one giant pile here and have this for the bookshelf because this was a landmark, a tremendous series, and Brian Boland's art is fabulous, as most people are only familiar with Brian Boland from the cover work he does. That's mostly what he does nowadays is covers. And having him do this entire series was tremendous. And you can see on page 82, if look at that image, that I believe that's a new image done for this trade. But great stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff. I was working at the comic book store out in San Diego, Poway, actually, at the time. And issue 11, I think, was 3 or 4 months late, and then it took another year for that final issue to come out. And I remember people coming up, you know, saying, this is issue 12. You know, I've been shopping here for a year. Where are the first 11? And I'm like, well, you know, it came out a while back. So it was kind of funny. And it did kind of kill the momentum of the story. But my God, this was some beautiful storytelling, both of the writing and certainly the art. And, you know, it's a sci-fi take on the Arthurian legend. I've got all the individual issues. I'm not planning on picking up the hardcover. But for anyone who doesn't have it, certainly pick it up. It is an excellent, excellent story. Now, next up, we've got our first pick from Damian for this month. It's kind of surprising we've gone through half a dozen picks and haven't had Damian up until now. But let's listen to what he has to say.
Hey guys, Damian here with my first pick for this month, which is Absolute Sandman Volume 4 Hardcover. Now, if you haven't read The Sandman, or you've been wanting to but never really got into it, honestly, the Absolutes is the way to go with them. I've been picking them up myself. I've got most of the issues. I had most of the trades, which I've actually got rid of since I had the Absolutes coming out. But this actually includes the end of the series, which is issues 57 to 75, and the story from Vertigo Jam number 1. Now, honestly, if you haven't actually read this one, this is really was the turning point for me in comics when I actually found this series. It showed me that there was more than just tights and capes out there and introduced me to a larger world, which, you know, I've just loved ever since. So, really, if you haven't actually been picking this up, this is these series that sort of opened my eyes to a new world of comics, if you really want to put it that way.
And, you know, 600 pages for $99 is a good deal.
Yeah, and, you know, there are a few series out there that I'm a total sucker for. And I have multiple versions of them. Kingdom Come, Bone, you know, these are, and Sandman are the three that come to mind. And these are ones where I have the monthlies, I bought the original hardcover collections when they came out, and then when, you know, like Absolute Kingdom Come came out, I bought it again. When that Bone 1 volume came out, I bought it again. Absolute Sandman, I'm buying it again. I love this series, getting the huge oversized version of the art. In most of these volumes, they'll have additional back matter with like an entire script of an issue by Neil, and that is tremendous to be able to read. These are beautiful packages, and being able to pick up the Absolute Sandman, this is something that stands out among comics. I personally hold this in higher regard than Watchmen. I know a lot of people revere and worship at the altar of the Watchmen. Sandman, to me, is more artfully done. I got far more enjoyment out of Sandman. And this is one where I believe it got a Hugo Award, and they changed the criteria for the Hugo Award after Sandman won to preclude a comic book ever winning a Hugo Award again, because they I guess, you know, didn't like the competition. They wanted it only to go to real novels and not comic books. But this is a tremendous work of fantasy and fiction. And if you have never read Sandman, this is something to do. And, you know, starting at number 4, maybe not the best thing, but, you know, go out. Volume 1 of The Absolute Sandman is on the shelves. I think it really kicked into high gear at the second volume of The Absolute Sandman. So, next, we have a movement into the Image section, and we've got Ian Levenstein again from Comic Timing.
All right, guys, it's Ian Levenstein from the Comic Timing podcast over at speakgeekspeak.com/comic timing here with my independent pick. This one is coming out of Image, and it is a book that is very close to my heart. It is Back to Brooklyn number 1, and obviously you people know by now that I'm from Brooklyn, so I'm going to enjoy any story involving Brooklyn, especially when it's done by Garth Ennis and Jimmy Palmiotti. And the art and cover is by a name that I can barely pronounce, so I'm going to try my best here. It's from Mihailo Vukalek, and Jimmy Palmiotti is on the inks. So obviously it's back to Jimmy Palmiotti's inks, which is always a plus because he's done a wonderful job. Variant cover by Phil Noto, and Bob Saeta made the biggest mistake of his life by pissing off his brother, one of the biggest and most brutal crime bosses in New York City. This is a story of two brothers at war wrapped in a special package of extreme languages and hardcore violence. Join award-winning Garth Ennis, Jimmy Palmiotti, and artist Mihailo Vukalek in a 5-issue adrenaline ride that rips the roof off of Brooklyn's criminal underworld. And Back to Brooklyn looks like it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. The art on the cover hooks me in as well because it's a picture that sort of looks like it's straight out of Grand Theft Auto 4 with a guy in a bloody t-shirt with the Brooklyn Bridge in the background, so that's kind of fun. And, well, hey, I like Brooklyn. Not only is this my pick here, but it's also my Comic Timing pick, so I wanted to mention that here. It's $179 on Heroes Corner right now, 40% off, product code of JUL082168. And the publisher is Image Comics. Now, I want to let you in on a deal here. Because it's my Comic Timing pick, if you're getting it from Heroes Corner, you got a little bit of an extra discount here as well. It's actually only going to be 75 cents if you put in Comic Timing special discount in your notes section on Heroes Corner. So that's a little bit of a Comic Timing special discount there for you. But obviously, DCBS is going to have a discount as well. John and Bob can fill you in on that. I've said that like 5 times now. But, you know, I want to make sure everybody gets their fair share here. But, yeah, once again, product code JUL082168, Back to Brooklyn number 1 out of Image Comics, mature readers book. Remember that. Don't give this to your 8-year-old. And that's all for me, so back to John and Bob.
The DCBS has this at a 50% discount, and they've got 3 pages of art in previews on page 133, 134, and 135. And man, the art looks nice. I'm debating if I'm going to get this or not. I'm a little worried when it says, you know, extreme language and hardcore violence, because I can be a little squeamish at times. But certainly this looks like a nice nice package. For
yeah, you're generally not the one for the hardcore violence. You might want to give this a miss.
Well, it's Garth Ennis, so I think they're going to fulfill on the hardcore violence part, so yeah.
Garth can write some hardcore violence.
That he can. All right. Next up, we've got a pick from Mike Myers. So let's listen to that.
This is Mike Myers from the Geek Brunch Podcast, located at geekbrunchpodcast.com. And one of the books I want to plug this month is from Image. I know that Eric Larson's stepping down from head publisher, and I'm curious to see where this company's going to go without him, because I've been loving everything that Image has been doing for the most part. Well, this first book that I want to plug is Dead Ahead, number one of three. So it's a three-issue miniseries. Cover price is $3.99. Story is by Clark Castillo and Mel Smith, with art and cover by Alex Nino and Moose Bauman. Now, I haven't really heard of these guys before, but the concept and the preview page that they gave on page 137 and or 136 and 137 was really nice. The premise of this book is there's some survivors on a fishing boat, and they find out that all the continents have been hit by a plague turning humanity into living zombies. So these guys are castaways trying to fend for themselves and find a way to survive with limited provisions, and they find out there's a huge luxury liner that's sailing into view on the horizon, and what they believe that if they can get on board, they can find the provisions that they need to survive, and one of their things is to find out what happened to the crew and its passengers. It just sounds really interesting. I thought the artwork looked really nice for this type of book, and I like zombies, and this kind of falls into that. So that's my first selection from Image. My next selection is called Four Eyes. The story is by Joe Kelly, with art and cover by Max Fermara. And the premise of this one is, in Brooklyn 1930, America struggles in the grip of the Great Depression, and a 10-year-old Enrico is willing to make any sacrifice to take care of his mother, even if it means taking a job in the one place he's forbidden to go, the Ring of Fire, where dragons are trained and fought for cash and glory. Revenge is a dish best served white hot. This just sounded really cool. I'm into the dragons, like Dragon Cross right now from Big City. This sounded like it would be really cool, and it's in a time frame in the 1930s that sounded really interesting to me. It sounded unique, and it captured my attention when I was going through it. This Four Eyes is on page 138 and 139, and you get some preview art, which the dragon looks really cool on page 139 of the previews. And the cover price for this book is $3.50. I will now turn you over to your hosts, Bob and John. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, on the Dead Ahead, where you were saying, where Mike was saying he didn't recognize any of the characters, Alex Nino is actually kind of an old school artist. He's one of the Filipino artists that came in the 70s. He did a lot of Savage Sword of Conan art, and I recognize his name from that. He's done Heavy Metal magazine. He's been around for a long time, so this is kind of a return for him to comics. I don't recall seeing a lot of Alex Nino work lately, but he has been around for a long time. He's definitely not a newcomer.
But this Moose Bauman probably is. Yeah. I think we'd recognize the name Moose.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of unique. The art on that Four Eyes, though, looks really nice. That's one I'm toying with getting. And then let's see. Next up, we've got another pick from Jason Wood, so let's listen to that.
Hey, John and Bob, this is Jason Wood with yet another pick. I have to tell you, it's shaping up to be one fantastic month in terms of genre comics. I just got done talking to you guys about the Arthurian legend in the form of Camelot 3000, and now yet another genre that I'm just an absolute rabid fan of is the Western. And this month, Image Comics looks to be giving me exactly what I'm looking for. That would be found on page 142 of previews, and I'm talking about Image Comics 13 Chambers. Now, what's great about this is a one-shot, And, you know, we've talked a lot as the industry evolved that we should probably be looking to put out more original graphic novel content so that people can get a self-contained story for a reasonable price. And by the looks of things, Image is delivering on that this time out. Again, this is 13 Chambers. The story is by Christopher Morrison, art by Dennis Medry, with covers by Paolo Parente. There's a cover and a variant cover, both by Paolo. It's 48 pages for $5.99 retail. So, again, you're effectively getting 2+ monthly issues worth of comic book in one OGN format for $5.99, plus obviously the standard discount that many of us get through using DCB service. Now, what's the story about? Well, as I've already alluded to, it's a Western, which in and of itself makes it goodness, but there's some preview art on page 143, which I think really sells the book. It looks well-colored, well-paced, some beautiful women. Rather than try and describe the book, since obviously it's an original graphic novel, I haven't read it yet, let me just read you a quick blurb here, and I think it sets the tone. After Abraham Lincoln's death, one of President Jackson's first orders was to disband the 13 Marshals, a secret group of lawmen operating with complete federal authority. Set in a fantasy 1860s, 13 Chambers is the story of the 13th Marshal and his presidential mission to retrieve all 13 territory peacekeeper pistols and return them to Washington, D.C. for retirement. All's well until he reaches a small town in Four Corners where an insane mining baron named York has killed the 12th Marshal and stolen his pistol. The 13th Marshal must get the pistol back at all costs and bring York to justice or die trying. Blazing shootouts, killer train robberies, gorgeous babes, it's an Old West like you've never imagined. So that's it, guys. 13 Chambers looks like one heck of a lot of fun, and again, it's a one-shot, so you don't have to commit to this long-term. Try it and buy it. Hope you guys enjoy it as much as I think I will. Talk to you.
I'm not huge into the Western genre, but this looks like a lot of fun, so I've got this down on my list.
It's similar, I think. You know, you like caliber,
yeah.
And that could be construed as a Western. This is not a straight Western, much like – it's not like Jonah Hex, for instance. I mean, you do have the you know, special nature of these guns that these guys have, and it does look like it's got a little bit of a bent like that.
Yeah, and that's part of what makes it interesting to me. And DCBS has this at a 50% discount.
Right, and this is one of the comic book page picks of the month.
Now, next up is another pick from Damien, and we also interviewed the creator of this pick. We'll talk about that after we listen to what Damien has to say on it.
Hey guys, Damien back again from the Cryptographic Podcast, which can be found at www.lordshaper.com/cryptographic, with my next pick, which is M-Theory. Now, you would have hopefully heard the interview with Dwight about this, actually, in the interviews episode, but honestly, this is one of the best pulp-type comics I've read in a long time. There's alien conspiracies. You know, I don't want to give much away for it. There's this, you know, you've got, you know, multiple universes. You actually have other people on other, you know, in other universes trying to, instead of sort of investigating and finding out about new life forms, if they find something that they don't class as, you know, intelligent, they'll destroy it. It is going to be a weird and bumpy ride, I think, with this book. Great episode, you know, you've got Albert Einstein in there, they have the Roswell crash in there, and it just all blows up from there. So if you want to have some fun, if you want to sort of get that sort of feel back to it, I would definitely check this book out. And it's a three-part series, so the first one comes out this month from Image Shadowline, and it's on page 162. And also, the previews code for that one is going to be JUL082223. So, you know, jump on it. Okay, then, on to the next.
We'll have the interview with Dwight McPherson, the writer of this, on our Friday episode. And we've got a DCBS discount for this of 75%. And it looks just like some good, you know, pulp sci-fi action-adventure stuff. I think Dwight's tossed quite a bit of story into this, so it should be a lot of fun. So check out the interview and check this out when it comes out.
Now, this does have a wildly good DCBS discount. It's 75% off for up to two copies, and then I think it goes down to 50% off if you feel compelled to buy more than two copies of it. But you can try this out at extremely low risk So, again, listen to our show on Friday where we talk to Dwight and give this one a try. This is a double thumbs up pick from John and I for this month.
Now, next up, we've got a pick from Mike Myers, and I'm really interested to hear what he has to say on this, because this is one where the solicitation on page 165 looked interesting to me, but not quite enough to push me over the edge. So let's see if Mike can do that, because we know what a hard sell I can be, right? No.
Mike Myers again for the Geek Brunch podcast. The next book I want to plug is also an Image book, specifically a Top Cow book. And it seems like I'm getting into dragons, so this is also involves dragons like the other book that I mentioned earlier. This is on page 165 of previews. It is called Dragon Prince, and it's a new series by Ron Mars, and the artist is Lee Motter, with the cover artists of Jeff Johnson or Steven Sajic, and I'm definitely getting the Sajic cover, just because I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of Ron Mars, the work that he's done for DC and Marvel, but I specifically like the work that he's done for CrossGen, and this seems like that particular type of book. The premise is, states, like a lot of teenagers, Aaron Shang feels he's never fit in, though he's never known why. But all that changes when he learns the truth of his heritage. He is a dragon prince, last of his kind and heir to the bloodline of all dragons. Hunted to the brink of extinction by a secret society of wizards, dragonkind survival is now in Aaron's hands. And that just sounds cool. And I'm a big fan of Ron Mars, and I think this kind of fits into the CrossGen universe. I mean, things that he did at CrossGen, like The Path, Sojourn, Scion, Mystic. I mean, he seems to excel at that kind of stuff, so I'm really looking forward to this. And yeah, the cover price is $2.99, which is kind of cool, because most books are going to $3.50 and $3.99, it seems. And it's from Top Cow. Check it out. Now back to John and Bob.
It does seem to have kind of that cross-gen feel to it in terms of being kind of more of a genre book or something that's not really getting explored in a lot of other stuff. So I think I will probably pick this up.
Yeah, Dragon Month from Image. You got that Four Eyes. It's got dragons running around in it. You got this book with the dragons. If you're a dragon fan, you got to be happy with the July previews. Which of those two covers appeals to you? The Sajic one or the
I certainly Jeff like Johnson? The Sajic one, but I'll probably get the Jeff Johnson one. Actually, you know, I don't know. I was thinking Jeff Johnson was doing the interior art, but since he's not, I think I will get that Sajic one. If I've got the choice sometimes of supporting the guy who's doing the interior art versus somebody who's just brought on for solely the cover, I'll try to support the interior artist. I just think that's the right thing to do. But in this right. case, you know, that Sajic one is nice. So I'll get that. So thank you, Mike, for, doing the sales pitch on that one. Now that takes us out of Image and into the Marvel previews. And first up, we've got a pick from Jason Wood. Let's listen to that.
Hey, John and Bob, this is Jason Wood back with you. I want to call your attention to the very first listing in the Marvel Preview Supplement. That would be page 3. I am, of course, talking about The Stand, Captain Trips, number 1. Now, this is the first of a 5-issue miniseries, which is the first part of what I believe will be a eventually 30-issue series that chronicles Stephen King's fantastic work, The Stand. Now, I don't need to tell anybody listening the success that Marvel had with the Dark Tower series, and so it's no surprise that they're looking to print versions of other Stephen King works. But the great thing from my perspective is that as much as I enjoyed The Dark Tower, I have to say that for as long as I've been familiar with the work, The Stand has not only been my favorite Stephen King book, but it's actually one of my favorite novels, period. It's a really fantastic story about effectively the end of mankind. Don't want to give out any spoilers, but something happens that essentially kills off the very lion's share majority of the world's population, and we see what happens to the remaining people in the United States after the fact. It's a great story from start to finish, and the fact that Marvel is doing this in comic book form just makes me giddy. So again, it's The Stand, Captain Trips number one. It's written by Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, whose star is certainly on the rise at Marvel. Pencils and inks by Mike Perkins, which to me is all goodness. It's 32 pages, cardstock cover for $3.99. I certainly will be picking this up. I encourage everyone else, too, that if you're a fan of things like Oni Wasteland or Why the Last Man or anything dystopian in nature, The Stand is really one of the best dystopian stories that I think's ever been penned. And I can't imagine you're not enjoying this book. Thanks very much, guys. Talk to you soon.
Now, I love The Stand also. I don't want to speak against monthly comics, but for me, Marvel with the Dark Tower one has trained me to not buy the monthly comics on the Dark Tower. I've been buying the hardcovers when they come out, and I have been skipping the monthly books, and I believe that's what I'm going to do with The Stand also. I will absolutely buy this Captain Trip story when it is inevitably collected in a hardcover in, 5 or 6 months' time. But I'll pass on buying the monthly issues. So, one of the choices that everyone has to make, given the practices of a lot of our publishers nowadays.
Yeah, and you're right. In a lot of cases, they are kind of training the readers to wait for that hardcover.
Well, in this case, it's particularly, because if it's a superhero book, which I collect mostly superhero stuff monthly, I don't go out of my way to buy, a hardcover collection of some, Spider-Man or something like that. But something like, something that is a Stephen King adaptation, same thing with the Laurel Hamilton, Anita Blake stuff. I don't buy the monthly issues. I buy the hardcovers when they come out because I have the hardcover novels, and I put them right next to my hardcover novels by the same author on the bookshelf.
That makes sense.
So, with these, famous author type of adaptations, that is definitely what I prefer to do.
Okay, next up, we've got a pick from Mike Myers for Marvel. Let's listen to that.
This is Mike Myers from the Geek Brunch Podcast, and I'm going to be talking about some Marvel books. On page 20 of the Marvel previews, there's Captain Britain and MI-13, number 5, written by Paul Cornell, penciled by Leonard Kirk. And, God, I love this book. I'm 2 issues in, and I'm really into this book. It's my favorite Secret Invasion tie-in. And in this issue, Blade is back, and I love what Guggenheim did with Blade, and I hope he takes off with him, kind of like the way he was left off. But Blade is going to go against Spitfire, because she's a vampire again, and that either happened in the New Invaders or Union Jack. And I'm really looking forward to this book. It's so well written. The art is just beautiful, in my opinion. And I think it deserves more credit than it'll probably, or recognition than this book will probably ever get. But it's one of my favorite books to read every month. And I'm going to try to plug it. Thanks. Back to Bob and John.
I've been really enjoying Captain Britain and MI-13. I think Leonard Kirk's doing some great art. And this is definitely one that very much exceeded my expectations, when it came out. So this is a good spot to jump on. And I think he's right that Spitfire became a vampire in the Union Jack miniseries a number of years ago. So having Blade crossover should be fun and entertaining. Next up, we've got Daredevil 111 on page 21 of the Marvel previews. We've got a 50% off discount through DCBS. This looks to be an excellent jumping-on point for anyone who's not reading Daredevil, and Brubaker's doing some excellent work over there. And this is going to be the introduction of Lady Bullseye, who, they're setting up to be another major character in the Daredevil, arena. Don't know if she's friend or foe yet, but in either way, should be a pivotal character for upcoming storylines. So this is your chance to be there when they introduce her and, figure out where they're going to go with her. Now, one thing I want to toss in here before we go on to our next pick is something that I had discovered at the local comic shop before I noticed it in here, and that's on page 23, they've got a Mark Millar checklist for his work on Fantastic Four, Wolverine, and Marvel 1985. I hadn't realized initially that this was the three were going to kind of cross over and dovetail in some fashion until I saw this page that they had actually photocopied and up by the checkout stand at the local store. And you had recommended 1985 to me, Bob. I read the first issue and enjoyed it. This is something they really should have had in the Marvel previews when the first issue of Marvel 1985 was solicited. So for anyone who's missed that and is following either the Old Man Wolverine storyline in Wolverine or Mark Millar's stuff in Fantastic Four and isn't getting 1985, check out page 23 in the Marvel previews. It kind of explains how they're going to kind of tie together in some fashion. That way you at least know. And next up, we've got another pick from Jason Wood. So let's listen to that.
Hey, John and Bob, it's Jason Wood of 11 O'Clock Comics back with you for yet another pick. This time I'm going into my home territory. That would, of course, be Marvel Comics. I want to call your attention to The Incredible Hercules, number 121. It can be found on page 29 of the Marvel Comics Previews Supplement. Now, I don't know how many people listening have been reading The Incredible Hercules, and I can understand if, after The Incredible Hulk's title was changed to The Incredible Hercules, you decided to jump off the book. But for those of you that did walk away, I have to tell you, I think you made a big mistake. To be honest with you, The Incredible Hercules is immensely more entertaining, well-written, and frankly better drawn, in my opinion, than what we're getting from the main Hulk title. It's just been a lot of fun. Hercules has always been a very adventurous, fun-loving character. This book has been no exception, and I just wanted to bring up this because it's the start of a new arc, so it's a great jumping-on point. The last few issues have been tied up in with Secret Invasion and have been a lot of fun unto themselves, but obviously it's always nice if you're going to try out a new book to start at the beginning of a new arc, and 121 does do that. It's the start of an arc called Love and War. Effectively, this takes place after, I guess, sometime after Secret Invasion, and it involves Hercules and Namora, as well as what look to be some Amazons who declare war on Atlantis. Amadeus Cho's there, of course, and Ares returns. So, looks like a lot of mayhem ensues. The cover art by Arthur Soydum, I have to say, looks fantastic. Soydum can certainly draw some beautiful women, and it looks like Hercules got his butt handed to him by these women. This is written by Greg Pak and Fred Van Lente. They're doing just a terrific job. You know, Pak has really, I think, emerged from his work as writing the Planet Hulk into this, and I think he's really enjoying himself, and Fred Van Lente just tells fun, comic-y stories. There's a new penciler, and that is Clayton Henry, which, again, I've always been a fan of his work, so I think the book won't miss a beat on that front. It's 32 pages, $2.99 cover. Again, that is Incredible Hercules number 121. Should be a lot of fun and a great jumping on point. Back to you guys.
I'm a big fan of Fred Van Lente's work. He tells nice self-contained stuff. Greg Pak also has done some nice work, and Fred Van Lente, I think, he was writing Wolverine First Class that we reviewed a few weeks ago on the Weekly Comic Spotlight, right, John?
Yeah,
so he does a nice job. I'm enjoying Hercules. I'm the Sacred Invasion that is going on right now, with kind of the gods' response to the Secret Invasion, is very fun, and I'm looking forward to this new arc starting out, Love and War. I agree with Jason that Incredible Hercules has been an entertaining series. Moving next into Mighty Avengers number 18, this is another of the comic book page picks of the month. It's 50% discounted, Secret Invasion tie-in, and we're finally getting the introduction to Nick Fury's Secret Warriors. And, you know, one thing with Mighty Avengers and New Avengers, as Avengers titles, they have been somewhat lacking since Secret Invasion started, because they've really pretty much been appendices to Secret Invasion, where they're telling backstory from Secret Invasion. Don't get me wrong, they are extremely well done and extremely entertaining stories. But if somebody picks these books up expecting to find an Avengers story, they're going to, and they're not reading Secret Invasion Event, they're going to be sadly disappointed. But if you are reading Secret Invasion, and you want to read, some tremendously entertaining, almost back matter and fleshing out of these stories, this is for you. And this one, I'm really looking forward to getting the lowdown on Nick Fury's Secret Warriors. The cover of this is a Skrull takeoff on the Strange Tales number 135, which is, of course, the first appearance of Nick Fury in the context of S.H.I.E.L.D. He had made some previous appearances as Sergeant Fury, but this is his first Nick Fury Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. appearance was in Strange Tales number 135, and the cover looked somewhat similar, without the Skrulls, to the cover that we're seeing for this issue here.
Well, and we talked about that run of Strange Tales with Nick Fury with Jason in a recent back issue spotlight.
Right, and that was really fun, and these were some really fun stories to read in their original form, and it's timely, I think, you know, with Nick Fury coming back in a big way, and I'm really excited to see how Nick is going to play a role in kicking the Skrull's butt off the planet Earth, which I'm going to assume is the way this is going to end, and we won't end up being subjugated by the Skrull Empire. Just kind of a guess that we're not going to lose the invasion.
Would hope not. That would kind of suck.
Yeah. we're going back to Jason now for one of his favorite things in the world.
Aw, snap. Rejoice, fellow Marvel zombies, because something that we've been waiting for, pleading for, desperate for, is finally here. Yes, this is Jason Wood bringing you the official announcement that 2 months from now we will finally get to read ourselves some new Deadpool. I know what you're saying. Deadpool, really? But truth be told, as any of you that participate in the forums know, I am a diehard Deadpool fan. He's actually my icon on the boards. He's one of my favorite characters. I love the Merc with the Mouth. For those of you that aren't familiar with Deadpool, he is an assassin, a mercenary, very witty guy, likes to crack jokes, breaks the fourth wall quite a bit. But is certainly a force to be reckoned with, and he has a Wolverine-like healing factor, so he's pretty much impossible to kill. He's had a number of ongoing series over the years. Last year, Deadpool and Cable wound up a 50-plus issue run, and this new series has been in the works for some time. So this can be found on page 44 and 45 of the Marvel Preview Supplement. Again, it's looks like we're getting two issues this first month, which is tremendous. Deadpool number 1 will actually be 48 pages for $3.99 cover, and Deadpool 2 will be 32 pages for $2.99 cover, both being solicited this month. Looks like it is tied in some way to Secret Invasion. There's some interior art on page 43, or I should say 45 rather, that shows Deadpool getting ready to battle some Skrulls. So, I don't know what's going on there, but I can't wait to find out. This is written by Daniel Way, who, if you read Wolverine Origins, Daniel was the writer of that during a Deadpool-Wolverine interaction, and he really understands the character. I think in hearing him interviewed about the character, he understands that Deadpool, I think, to be at its best, needs to have a balance between the fourth wall humor that some people love and the seriousness of his job and his abilities, and I think we're going to see a really nice balance from Way, and hopefully it'll be a long, fun run. Pencils by Paco Medina, who, again, I'm a fan of, and cover by Clayton Crane. For those of you Rob Liefeld fans out there, he does have a variant cover available. And for those Ed McGuinness fans out there, he too has a variant cover for issue number 2. So do yourselves a favor, jump on board the Deadpool train, because I'm telling you right now, you're not going to want to miss 1 minute of this nonstop hilarity and adventure that is my boy Wade Wilson. So that's all for now. It's Jason Wood again. Thanks, guys, for the time. And just a quick mention, if you guys want to hear more podcasting goodness besides John and Bob, why don't you go ahead and give a listen to our relatively new podcast. That's 11 O'Clock Comics. It's hosted by myself, Vince B. of Bullpen Bulletins fame, David A. Price of Marvel Noise and Bullpen Bulletins fame, and a Mr. Chris Niesman, who I'm sure you all know is the host of Around Comics. So basically we get together every Wednesday night, have a few drinks, chat a few comics, and basically give you our unedited conversation to either enjoy or despise as you see fit. So that's all for now, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up the first couple issues of this Deadpool series, see if it's any good. I got the ongoing series they did a while back. I did not get most of the Cable Deadpool series. I only got a couple issues that crossed into maybe Civil War or something like that. But, you know, who knows, maybe at some point I'll go pick up the back issues on that. But the Paco Medina art looks good. And next up, we've got a pick from Brad, the other half of Half Hour Wasted. So let's listen to that.
Hey, this is Brad from Half Hour Wasted podcast, here to talk about She-Hulk number 33. She-Hulk has been written by Peter David for the last several issues. He took over for Dan Slott. A lot of people were worried or concerned that Peter David wouldn't be able to sustain the momentum that Dan Slott had created with the She-Hulk series, which was very good. I enjoyed it. There was a lot of humor in it. Peter David took it in a different direction when he started up, and I've enjoyed it actually more than the Dan Slott run. I'm a huge Peter David fan, though, so maybe that has something to do with it. If you're a big Peter David fan, you'll enjoy this book. Coming up, number 33 is a Secret Invasion tie-in. If you've been reading She-Hulk, you know that She-Hulk has a partner now named Jacinda, who actually is a Skrull, and actually she's the daughter of the Super Skrull that we know and love. And in the Secret Invasion tie-in, the Super Skrull shows up and he's looking for his daughter, so he's not happy with her. I'm interested to see how this is going to tie in with the Secret Invasion, especially because, you know, she is a Skrull. She can shapeshift, and in fact, at the beginning of Peter David's run, she posed as Jennifer Walters, so there was a lot of misleading going on. It was fun. This has been a great run. I like the She-Hulk book a lot, especially with Peter David writing it. I was real excited when Peter David jumped on because, of course, he's written the Hulk. They feel totally different. I thought, I wonder if this is going to feel like his old run. It doesn't. This is a new thing. And if you're reading X-Factor, if you read Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, you know that Peter David has each of his books. You can tell to me they're written by Peter David, but they all have their own individual feel. X-Factor is another good book, but She-Hulk 33 coming out, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's been a great run. The cover's by Mike Diodato Jr. He's been doing covers. He's great. This one is penciled by, I'm going to butcher this name, Vincenzo Cucca, C-U-C-C-A. He sounds Italian, doesn't he? I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm enjoying Secret Invasion, and the Jacinda character I knew would somehow tie into the Secret Invasion, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how she deals with it. It's going to be awesome.
Now, another Secret Invasion tie-in is on page 48, and that's Nova 17. This is written by Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning, and they've been doing a great job on this series. I've been enjoying Nova since it started, and this is one of the few new titles that I think has some really long legs and can be around for a number of years. They're just knocking it out of the park. In this issue, Nova is back on Earth. He's heading over to Project Pegasus, where his kid brother is now working, and there's a Skrull strike force heading that way. So he's going to have to take out probably a number of Super Skrulls, which should just be a lot of fun. I just can't say enough good things about this series. This is one of the ones that started strong and has been continually, you know, doing some great stuff, tying in with the major events of Annihilation, a little bit with some of the Civil War stuff, and now certainly with Secret Invasion, while maintaining a strong storyline for the title. We've also got a 50% discount at DCBS on this. It should be a good jumping on point, so check it out if you're not reading Nova right now.
And our next 50% discount, I think we have one more comic book page selection this month. Iron Man, Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 33. War Machine is back. So the Skrulls have stricken Iron Man with that virus that renders his armor and technology useless, but it's time to say hello to War Machine, Weapon of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Jim Rhodes is going to be back, and a new chapter in Tony and Rhodey's history begins here, we're told. And if you've ever liked Rhodey and the War Machine armor, I'm hoping to see Rhodey opening up a can of whoop-ass on some Skrulls in this issue. That's all I'm saying. Get him back in that War Machine armor and have him kicking Skrull butt and taking names.
I just want to know how the War Machine armor is going to be working when the rest of Tony's tech is out for the count.
Well, I think maybe it's that it's more like that. What's the virus, you know, called the Extremis? You know, it might be the Extremis tech, which he has a lot of his new stuff based on, that is that has been disabled. Whereas the War Machine is like older armor, and it's, you know, while it's advanced, right? It's not the bio interface nanotechnology kind of thing going on in it. So that could be, you know, similar to that recent Iron Man story where he had to go back into his original armor because the Extremis was deactivated.
Yeah. Well, seeing Rhodey back in action should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Next up, we've got Raph from Geeks Unite one more time, followed swiftly on that heels by Ian Levenstein from Comic Timing, and they're both going to be talking about page 54 of the Marvel catalog.
Hey there, comic book pages. Raph back for pick number 2. This one will be a Marvel pick, something I rarely ever do because Marvel doesn't need my help. This time, it's going to be Miss Marvel number 31. The writer is Brian Reed. I don't know why I'm doing the movie phone voice, don't ask me. Penciled by Marcos Martz, the cover by Frank Martin Jr., the monkey variant cover by David Yarden. And yes, this is the monkey variant month. Why we need that, I don't know. Anyway, Miss Marvel is a title that I have enjoyed on and off. That's my mistake. It's been solid throughout. I've picked up all the issues I missed in the trade paperbacks, and it's a really great series. Brian Reed really knows what he's doing. It's on page 54 of your Marvel previews, and the summary goes thusly. In the days following the Secret Invasion, there is a death in the family. Brian Reed and Marco Smarts begin the tale of Miss Marvel's new life post-Secret Invasion. So if you're reading Secret Invasion, you can jump on and you can explore Miss Marvel's life post-Secret Invasion. If you're not reading Secret Invasion, well, you can jump on and explore Miss Marvel's life after Secret Invasion. It's a very solid book. I like it a lot, and that's all I have to say about that. Back to you, Bob and John.
Hey, John and Bob. It's Ian from the Comic Timing Podcast over at SpeakGeekSpeak.com/comic timing here with another pick, this time going to Marvel, and I'm going the annual route with Ms. Marvel Annual Number 1. It's written by Brian Reed with pencils by Mark Robinson, who's done stuff in the G.I. Joe line for Devil's Due before, so he's at least somewhat familiar with comic books and stuff like that. Anyway, so the plot line of this appears to be Spider-Man and Ms. Marvel meeting for the first time basically since Civil War. I mean, they've been in the same place at the same time, but they really haven't had much time to talk. This is going to be an adventure with the two of them. Now, whether or not Brand New Day plays a part of this, we don't know. In the description, it says it's a brand new day as Ms. Marvel and the Amazing Spider-Man cross paths. That could just be them writing cool copy. It could actually have something to do with it. We don't know as of now. But it looks like it's going to be fun, and the annuals have been really, really good out of Marvel lately. I know that the Nova annual they did played heavily into Nova, and all the Ultimate Spider-Man annuals have always been fun. So hopefully Ms. Marvel's annual will be fun as well. The product code is JUL082333. It's 50% off at Heroes Corner for $2. Regular price is $3.99. Still don't have those DCBS numbers, so obviously John and Bob can fill it in. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Ms. Marvel Annual Number 1. Go ahead and check it out, and I will send it back to John and Bob.
DCBS has the normal 40% discount on that Ms. Marvel Annual. And it'll be interesting if they address kind of the One More Day stuff in there or not. On page 69, we've got X-Force number 7. This is part 1 of a 4-part storyline. And they've got a new art team of Mike Choi and Sonia Obak on it. And it's written by Christopher Yost and Craig Kyle. So I believe this is reuniting the team from the NYX miniseries a while back. Or short-term series. It lasted, 7 issues?
No, I think it was they did the X-23 series.
That's right. It was the X-23. I got it backwards.
Yeah, Josh Middleton was the artist on the Knicks.
Right. She X-23 was in near the end of MYX or whatever, so that's what confused me. Right. But Choi's also been doing some stuff over on Uncanny X-Men lately, hasn't he? Or am I?
Yes, he has, and I love his art. He's got a really nice style. So I was initially, when I heard Clayton Crane was coming off of X-Force, I was a little suspect, but bringing Choi and Obak onto it, I think, is a really good move on Marvel's part. I'm almost more excited to see them on it than Clayton Crane. I like Clayton's art, but you know, I really like Mike Choi and Sonia Obak. They're a little cleaner and brighter, if I will say. Clayton does – his art's kind of dark sometimes.
Well, and I think that, that cleaner and brighter art is going to be an interesting juxtaposition for a Black Ops team and could work very well for that. And it also looks like they have Archangel joining the team. So this has been a interesting series. I'm looking forward to the new art team. And it's cool to see the X-Men taking a bit more of a proactive stance on a few things and trying to actually clean up a few messes that need to be taken care of a bit more permanently. So if you haven't been checking it out, again, first of a four-part storyline, good time to check it out. We've also got a 50% discount through DCBS on this. And then next up, we've got another pick from Mike Myers. So let's listen to that.
Mike Myers with the Geek Brunch Podcast, trying to plug another Marvel book, which is Dead of Night featuring Devil Slayer, number 1 of 4, written by Brian Keene and pencils by Chris Sumney. And I am a big fan of Devil Slayer from the Defenders. Of course, I love the Defenders, so I almost like every character that was in the Defenders. But I'm curious to see what they do with him. I loved what they did with the Man-Thing. I really enjoyed the Dead of Night featuring the Man-Thing. And I'm hoping this takes off or has the same flavor as the Man-Thing, and I can learn more about the character. The cover price for this is $3.99, and I believe the other Man-Thing book was also $3.99, but in my opinion, it was well worth it. Give it a shot if you're into the Defenders or into this type of character that's kind of horror-based. I highly recommend it. It is a Max title, so it is for Teen Plus. Back to Bob and John.
And then rounding out the Marvel previews, we've got one last pick from Ian of something that Marvel hid in the very tail end of the Marvel previews, which I really think they should have given a bit more space and highlighted a bit more. So let's listen to what Ian has to say on it.
Hey, John and Bob, it's Ian from the Comic Timing Podcast over at speakgeekspeak.com/comic timing, back with my third pick. This one's sort of an extra pick, as I still got one more pick to go, but I definitely wanted to mention this. Obviously, you guys can get a little more in-depth on this because you probably know a little bit more about the creator than I do, but a Gene Colan tribute book is coming out this month. It's going to have three covers. I'm going to buy the A1 myself because it looks like it's going to be pretty cool, but it's coming out via the Hero Initiative in conjunction with Marvel Comics. And Marvel's top creators select their favorite stories featuring the groundbreaking artwork of Gene Colan, reprinted here in their entirety, and offer commentary on his prolific contributions to the comic book industry, from Tomb of Dracula to Daredevil to Howard the Duck. And this is an important book because while Gene Colan is not in the best of health right now, it could certainly use all the proceeds that are going to be donated to his cause from this Hero Initiative book. It's regularly $9.99. The price is $5.99 at Heroes Corner, 40% off. JUL082418 is the product code, and DCBS numbers to come. John and Bob can fill you in on that. So, yeah, this is definitely worth getting if you're a fan of Gene Colan, or in general, if you're a fan of artwork, because from what I've seen from Gene's work, I haven't read a lot of the stuff he's done. However, I've seen his artwork, and it is absolutely stunning. So you are going to enjoy this collection of Gene Colan work, trust me. And it is for the best cause possible, because you're going to be helping a man out who desperately needs it right now. So Gene Colan tribute book from Hero Initiative and Marvel Comics. Certainly check this book out if you have the time. Back to John and Bob.
Yeah, Gene Colan is one of my all-time favorite artists. He did classic work on, he had runs on Iron Man, Daredevil, Captain America, just Tomb of Dracula, he's very well known for at DC, Night Force, Silver Blade. He had a run on Batman, I believe. Just a tremendous, tremendous artist. I'm a little sad that Marvel did bury this on the last page of the Marvel catalog, and they talk about three covers, and they only show one of those covers, which is a riff on the classic Iron Man number one, Iron Man first series number one. But really nice work. It's going to be a lot of classic Gene Colan material reprinted in its entirety here. And this is something that's definitely worth picking up if you have not experienced Gene Colan's art, because it is marvelous.
Yeah, I'm shocked that they literally tossed it on the last page of the previews. I'm sure it was kind of a late addition to the thing, and they were trying to make room for it, but it's something that I wish they would have given a bit more of a spotlight to. DCBS has that at 50% off, and again, the proceeds for that go directly towards helping Gene Colan with his medical bills and other things he's having right now. Okay, that takes us out of the Marvel previews and finally into the back half of the main previews. We've actually had a ton of submissions for Marvel, DC, Image, and Dark Horse stuff this month. And I think there's a ton of great things in the back half of previews, so let's start digging into there. And our first one is from Lenny, so let's listen to that.
Okay, hi guys, this is Lenny Cooper, C-Towner1 on your forum, and also of the Cerebus Yahoo group, and I'm perusing through the July previews, and I can't help but notice something I've been eagerly awaiting, Glamourpuss number 3. Why do I like Glamourpuss? Well, first of all, it's Dave Sims of Dave Sims' new work, Dave Sims of Cerebus Aim, one of the greatest graphic novels ever made, and Dave really knows his stuff, and Glamourpuss is something I've been excited about. On the surface, maybe you wouldn't be so excited about Glamourpuss because it looks like a parody of women's fashion magazines, which is not something I particularly was very interested in. But if you read Glamourpuss, there's a whole other story going on here. Dave is giving a history. He's giving a lesson in photorealistic art, particularly as practiced by artists in the 40s and 50s in the comic strips, such as Alex Raymond and Milt Kniff, but also I think it's going beyyond that. I'm not really sure because I've only read the first issue, but this the third issue promises to give us something about the relationship between Alex Raymond and Milt Kniff and how their styles compare and how one used the style of the other. So it's really, I think, for comic book fans to get an idea of how artists apply their craft in this particular area, it's really exciting to me. You know, that he chose to put it in the trappings of a fashion parody, not so much exciting for me, but I think with Dave, he has my benefit of doubt for sure, and the art is gorgeous. I mean, he draws gorgeous women, he draws gorgeous airplanes, he draws gorgeous pencils. The guy really knows his stuff, and I really recommend this book for anyone who likes great comic book art, who wants to get a greater appreciation of the history of comics, and in particular that of photorealism. I know for me, that's an area of comic books that I did not know a lot about, and it's an area that I wanted to learn about, and that's why I am psyched for Glamourpuss 3. Thank you very much, guys.
And next up on page 90, we've got a pick from Rafe. Let's listen to that.
Hey, Bob and John, back for my third pick, and now my third and fourth picks are going to be independents, because I figure I'll balance it out. Anyway, my pick can be found on page 190 of your previews. It's by Alterna Comics Incorporated, and it is Jesus Hates Zombies, featuring Lincoln Hates Werewolves in Ye Though I Walk, Volume 1. It's a graphic novel by Stephen Lindsay and Steve Cobb, and the description is thus. The zombie plague has swept across the earth, and Jesus has been sent down to take care of it, along with Laz, his loyal zombie sidekick. Jesus must unite the remaining humans to stand up and defeat the zombie menace. With a time-traveling Abraham Lincoln at his side, and a zombified angel hot on their heels, can this mishmash of heroes save humanity, or themselves? It's $7.95. I'm sure that there's going to be a 30 to 35% discount from DCBS. The reason I picked this book is because I read the first one, and I enjoyed it a lot. And for those of you who are more conservative with your Christian values, I do apologize if I have offended you by making this my pick, but it's very entertaining. entertaining. It's very fun. It's, yes, it can get blasphemous, but have I enjoy, you know, as a Catholic, as a recovering Catholic, I'd like to say, I enjoy a little fun at the expense of our Lord. I don't think he'd mind. We're not, you know, it's not like, you know, we're making fun of him too bad. We're not ribbing him too hard. It's all right. So I enjoyed the first one. I'm definitely going to give this one a shot, and I suggest you do too. All right, back to you, Bob and John.
I would maintain that it's better to have Jesus hate the zombies than to have Jesus be their pal. So I would like to think that if Jesus did come back, he would help us put down the zombie plague. So that I agree with Raph on that one. I'm another recovering Catholic. So hopefully we didn't just offend a tremendous number of people. It's all in good fun. So let's move on to our next pick, John, where we have Mike Myers.
This is Mike Myers from the Geek Brunch Podcast. Again, it's trick-or-treat month, so I have a lot of books to choose from. The next book I would like to choose is from Ape Entertainment on page 198, and it's Heresy. And the premise of this is dismembered bodies and roasted heads are no ordinary murder, but Matt Baker is no ordinary cop. The trail of blood and secrets leads him into a war between forces he can't quite believe exist. In an uneasy alliance with vampires, Baker wages a desperate battle to keep mankind at the top of the food chain. And it's 32 pages, full color, issues. It's a four-issue miniseries at $2.99. It's by John Brady, Roger Minshew, and Steve Perkins. And looks like it's right up my alley. And, of course, I'm going to be trying a lot of these trick-or-treat books, but this is one that stood out for me. And if you're into that kind of thing, such as vampires and murder trails, which doesn't sound like it's for John, but it might be for other people that are interested in those kind of books. Thanks again, and back to Bob and John.
Yeah, with the dismembered bodies and roasted heads, that lost me right there. But I'm sure there's a definite audience for that. It's just not one I'm part of.
Yeah. Next, we've got a couple more that'll probably be right up your alley from Damien.
Hey, guys. It's Damien from Welcome to Heavenside, which you can find at heavenside.lordshaper.com. And I'm here with The Victorian Horrors of Old Muckchuck, issue 2, which is actually one that I missed last month, but I sort of heard enough about it. I literally got my order in on the final day before my shop had actually sent in their orders to Diamond. It's supposed to be a genre-busting terror steampunk and action tale. Now, I've been interested in steampunk for a while now, and I sort of just keep on marveling at everything that people can create in that genre. And this is going to be something interesting as far as I know. It's about a... The whole idea behind steampunk is that there's sort of technology that actually shouldn't be there at the moment, and or at the time period it was set. It's generally set in the Victorian time period, and where, you know, they sort of discover something. So, you know, you have these leaps in technology, but it's all based like steam powered instead of electricity or anything like that. Now, I really want to see where this goes. You've literally got the turn-of-the-century industrialist who becomes the most powerful man in the world because of this technology that's been discovered. And it's actually set in a real town. Now, as far as I know, the town actually had its name changed, but I really recommend, if you haven't seen this one, you know, pick it up when it comes out. You're getting 40 pages. It's going for $3.95, so check it out. This seems to be something that will be really interesting. Okay, then, back to Bob and John. Hey, guys, Damien here from Cryptographic, and welcome to Heavenside with one of the, probably the best series I actually came across, which has finally been collected, which is Black Summer, that came out from Avatar Press. Now, if you didn't actually get the issues, it was actually an 8-issue series, well, 7 issues, and the 0 issue, which was really the start of the story for it. It's literally about what happens if you have a superpowered team that decides that they don't like how the country's been run, and, you know, what actually they can do to make it better. Well, one of them decides to take out the president and go on from there. It is a really good series. If you're actually not a fan of violence, then honestly, don't get this book. This is a mature themes book. There is blood and guts everywhere in this book. But the story itself is really compelling. You actually have all the former members of this team sort of trying to figure out why this one person was started to take things into his own hands, and then it came down to where do they land and what are they supposed to do about it. I would pick this up if you didn't get it. It's 192 pages. It's coming out in both softcover and hardcover, and you can actually order either one. You've got $24.99 for the softcover. You've got $32.99 for the hardcover. The hardcover's limited to 2,000 copies as well, and it's on page 212. So if you did miss it, pick it up. This was really the big summer event that came out from Avatar. It was so different than anything else that was coming out at the time. I think we had Civil War and God knows what from DC at the time, but this is the one that I was actually waiting on. I really would check it out, guys. Okay, then, back to John and Bob.
Okay, and thank you, Damien. Black Summer was very entertaining. If you missed that, very good. And then also on page 213, Warren Ellis's new take on the superheroic kind of no-holds-barred type of action is No Hero number 1 from Avatar. I got the number 0 issue a week or so ago, and that was fabulous. So I'm really looking forward to number 1 there. Then the next thing that we're going to pop out to is we're going to go up to page 221 from Boom Studios, and that is Galveston number 1. And this one looks really interesting to me. I'm going to read the solicit here. True fact, fabled pirate John Lafitte spent his last years not on the high seas, but in Texas. Guess who his best friend was? Jim Bowie. What adventures must a swashbuckling corsair and an American frontiersman have had together in the Old West? It's Deadwood with pirates. So it's like, I'm sold on that. I'm a sucker for this kind of stuff. There's two covers. I'm getting the Jim Bowie cover, John Lafitte one. He's got like this big curly wig or something on that they used to wear, and it didn't look too hot to me, but I'm really looking forward to this one. This one looks really cool. Special comic book page discount on this one, 45% off through DCBS. And now we're going to throw it back to Mike Myers to talk about something from Devil's Due Publishing.
This is Mike Myers with the Geek Punch Podcast. Again, and another horror book, or like a horror comedy book, is on page 249. And it's from Devil's Due Publishing, called Curse of the Werewoman. And this sounds pretty funny. It sounds kind of like Mantra, if you ever read it from CrossGen. Mantra was really a dude that turned into a woman. Well, this premise is a Fortune 500 exec, obsessive womanizer, and all-around jerk, Patrick Dalton, finds himself cursed by an angry, jilted lover, a curse that causes him to transform into a woman each night. With the tables turned, he can only continue his misogynistic life. It says it's a cross between Weird Science meets Miss Doubtfire in this hilarious sci-fi comedy. It's created and written by Jason M. Burns. He's done A Dummy's Guide to Danger, which I also enjoyed. So I'm giving this book a shot. It's an original graphic novel, so it's $12.99. It's 108 pages. Quite expensive, but sounded like I wanted to try it. So if you think you'll like it, give it a shot. Back to Bob and John.
And then next up, we've got another pick from our friend Jason Wood. Let's listen to that.
Hey, John and Bob, this is Jason Wood from 11 O'Clock Comics, coming at you with something from the back previews this time out. It's all the way on page 293. It's published by the Hero Initiative, and that's actually why I wanted to bring it to your attention. I know you guys know, but hopefully some of your listeners also are aware that the Hero Initiative really is a great organization that provides charitable help in the form of compensation and medical expenses and other financial support for the comics industry. And you know, frankly, as we all know, a lot of legendary creators, frankly, didn't make tremendous livings doing what they love. And so I think that the Hero Initiative serves a really important purpose. As I was looking through previews this month, this caught my attention. It's the 3-minute sketchbook trade paperback. Now, apparently, there's a fan named Michael Finn, and I guess he's known in some circles of the convention circuit for being a guy that asks for quote-unquote 3-minute sketches. He'll basically give an artist a backing board and ask them to do a sketch in 3 minutes, and whatever they come up with is good enough, and he walks away. So I guess he coordinated with the Hero Initiative to produce a sketchbook, and all of the proceeds, which is why I'm recommending this, go to support the Hero Initiative. It's 112 pages. Black and white for $12.99. So you're basically getting, what's that, effectively a dime a page. So you're getting to see 3-minute sketches of some of the world's most famous artists for 10 cents a page, and it's going to a great cause. According to the solicit, there are contributions from Neil Adams, Howard Chaykin, Steve McNiven, George Perez, John Romita Sr., John Romita Jr., Walt Simonson, Michael Turner, and many more. And it says it features renditions of characters like Spider-Man, the Hulk, Hellboy, Wolverine, Conan, and many, many more. So anytime you get to see something like that, I'm a huge fan of con sketches myself, so I would buy this book just because I want to look at it. But when you get to buy something like this and you get it for a good price and yet it goes to support such a worthy cause, I really think this is a no-brainer. So this is the kind of thing you might have missed as you peel through previews. So hopefully if I've brought this to the attention of a few other people that might buy it, I feel good about it. So again, it's page 293. It's the 3-minute sketchbook by the Hero Initiative. Thanks a lot, guys.
And I will just add that it's real easy to miss this because this is an offered again. It did come out quite a few months ago, and I'm holding it in my hands as we speak. And I'm looking through it again, and some of the 3-minute sketches in here are phenomenal. What John Romita Jr. did in 3 minutes, he's got Spider-Man, Cap, and the Hulk. We got a really nice Captain America by Dave Gibbons. There's a beautiful Iron Man by Bob Layton. There's just some really nice stuff. And then at the back of the book, there is a set of blank pages, maybe about 10 blank pages, where you can bring this to a con and get artists to enter their own 3-minute sketches to really personalize this 3-minute sketchbook for you. And I'm going to be bringing this to San Diego this year with me and getting some 3-minute sketches in it from some various people. So if you haven't checked this out before, give it a look here. It's going to a tremendously good cause, page 293 in the previews catalog.
And the Hero Initiative is what used to be ACTOR, a commitment to our roots. And again, this is a organization that helps out some of the long-term contributors and creators in the industry. And the person in charge of the committee for where the money goes and stuff is George Perez. So this is by comic pros, for comic pros. The Hero Initiative tends to have booths at most of the conventions, or at least the larger ones. So if you're there, go swing by their booth, go check this stuff out. It's definitely a worthy cause and something worth donating to. Because it's literally paying back the people who created the foundation of the comic book industry that we all love so much.
Right. And those guys, they didn't get the royalties. In many cases, these older creators didn't get their original art back to sell at conventions and online. You know, in many cases, I've heard horrible stories of, you know, like rainy days, them taking original pages of Marvel art and just throwing it on the floor to sop up water where people, you know, came in, you know, tracking in water from the rain outside. And they just did terrible, terrible things. And these guys were not getting good page rates. And anything that we can do to pay back some of these older creators for what they did founding the comics industry that we know and love is definitely worth our time and trouble. And, you know, you see these guys at a convention drop a $5 or $10 bill in the jar that they've got there, or buy something from them that they've got, you know, autographed editions and other kinds of things that they sell also that have been donated to them.
All right. Next up, we've got another pick from Damien.
Hey guys, Damien back once more with another pick, which is going to be Welcome to Hoxford, which is actually written and drawn by Ben Temple-Smith. Now, Welcome to Hoxford is literally about a insane asylum slash prison sort of scene where people sort of go in there and they don't come out. So, you know, no one sort of starts to hear from them again. And it's actually all about a couple of the actual inmates that have been put in there. You've got Ray, who hasn't been taking his medications. Turns out the Hoxford staff don't really have the prisoners' welfare at heart. More like their own stomachs. So this is an interesting, twisted sort of tale. I know I've spoken to Ben Temple-Smith about this, actually, and it's along the lines of Oz, but not along the lines of Oz. There is something darker in there, and the inmates aren't the bad guys in it. So if you haven't sort of seen this one, I would really check this one out. He's been doing some great work with Wormwood General and Corpse. He's been, you know, done his own 30 Days of Night stuff, so I would really check this out, because this is something that we should be supporting, and I love supporting, because even though he lives over in the States now, he is a former Australian, so I've got to sort of give props to him. So if you haven't checked it, it's on page 299, and it is Welcome to Hoxford.
Now, I'm a huge Ben Temple-Smith fan. I'm definitely getting the series, and I'll also point out that on a recent episode of Cryptic Musings, which is on the Cryptographic podcast feed, Damien has a really long and really entertaining conversation with Ben Temple-Smith that he recorded when Ben was down at a con in Australia. And if you are a fan at all of Ben Temple-Smith, go out and check out the Cryptographic feed. We've got a link to that in our show notes for this episode, and look for that Ben Temple-Smith episode.
Now on page 305, we have Rogue Angel, Teller of Tall Tales, the trade paperback. We've got a 50% off discount through DCBS on this. We reviewed, I think it was issue 4 in the Weekly Comics Spotlight, number 43, a couple of weeks back. And this is a series that I picked up because you had recommended it to me, Bob. And it took me about an issue or so to get used to the art style, which is a little more cartoony than I like, but not cartoony. But really beautifully fits the style and tone of the book. And it's about an archaeologist who has Joan of Arc's mystic sword. It's kind of a magic sword that comes when she needs it and stuff. And it's in the kind of style of, you know, Tomb Raider, Relic Hunter, kind of an Indiana Jones sort of archaeologist. And I haven't read the fifth issue yet, but I've read the first four, really enjoyed them. This is probably some of the best stuff I've read from Barbara Kessel, out of, you know, all of the work of hers I've read over the years. This is some really fun stuff, good action-adventure story, and one that I definitely recommend picking up, and I'm glad you had recommended it to me, Bob. So, like I said, we've got a 50% discount, so worth checking out.
Yeah, definitely one of my favorite things, and reading this comic got me to actually go and read the novels that these are based on. It's a house character that different authors tell novelization stories about under the house name of Alex Archer in the novels. And Barbara Kessel is telling an original tale here in this trade. However, they do a nice job of recapping the origin of Anja Creed. That's from the first novel, in what would be about chapter 2 or so of the trade paperback. Next up on page 311, we've got London Horror Comic. We have an interview with J.P. Kameth, who is writer on this from London Horror Comic, in our Previews Interviews episode that will be out on Friday. Please check that out. This is a fun book. I've read the first story
from it, which actually the first story is a fun story. There's all different genres of horror in this. There's kind of the humorous take on horror. There's the disturbing take. There's the, you know, all different kinds of ones. I haven't read the other ones. The story I read was the fun one, and then some of the more horrific ones will be coming up. But we have a rotating different kinds of short horror stories. It's a horror anthology by the same creative team. So that's an interesting take, because you're going to see the same team switch back and forth between the different subgenres in horror. And we've got a little bit of an extra discount on this through DCBS than they would have normally given. It's 35% off. That is a little more, like I said, than normal. I think it has to do with this is coming from Europe, and the relative strength of the dollar versus the euro probably gave us a little poorer discount than on some of the more U.S.-based companies. Now we're going to toss it over to Raf from Geeks Unite for his last selection of the month. Take it away, Raf.
Hey there, comic book pages, it's Raf again for my final pick of this previews month, and it can be found on page 312. It's from Mirage Studios. It's Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 50 by Ryan Brown, Tristan Jones, and Paul Harmon. The cover price is $3.25. I'm sure DCBS will give you a nice little discount on that. And the description is thus: the Turtles celebrate their 50th issue of Tales with an action-packed epic battle of monstrous proportions. Leatherhead and the Turtles battle the deadliest creatures on Earth to win back their freedom from big game hunter Mr. Marlin. From Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Volume 1, Number 6, co-plotted by Leatherhead creator Ryan Brown, and featuring the return of fan favorites Tristan Jones on script and Paul Harmon on art. This is one for the ages. Don't miss it. Now, of course, you're asking, why would Raf pick the Ninja Turtles book? Why would Raf do that? I'm gonna be honest. It's because Raf's in the book. And I don't mean me, I mean the Ninja Turtle Raphael. Of course, this is the turtle that made me popular in kindergarten and grade school, and I love the Ninja Turtles for that. So, thank you, Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, for making me a very popular child. Now, maybe not so much, but back then, really good. Pick this book up. Please, please pick this book up. It's Ninja Turtles. Come on. You can't go wrong with Ninja Turtles. Back to you, Bob and John.
Next up, on page 326, we've got Division 18, the Union of Novelty Costume Performers graphic novel. This is a 96-page black and white graphic novel for $9.99. We've got a 45% discount through DCBS on this. And we interviewed Matt and Jeremy and I believe the publisher too. That was the third person, right? Yeah. We've got that in our Friday episode. We talked to them for a bit about kind of, you know, what were they thinking when they created this. Because it is a really offbeat and very original premise of kind of a group, it's definitely a group of costume performers, people who dress up in those big, you know, foam outfits or what have you, and they are part mascots, part mafia. It's a wonderfully unique comic premise and stuff. It's I read the first issue, really enjoyed it. This includes that and two other issues to round out that graphic novel. It's definitely kind of unlike anything else out there, and I mean that in a very good way. They set up the scene, the premise, and the characters great in that first issue, and told a really good story, and I felt that I'd definitely gotten my money's worth out of that, and I'm sure that the trade will be the exact same thing.
Yeah, it was a fun thing, and yeah, the third person was Christian, was the publisher. For Silent Devil.
Yeah. Okay, next up we've got another pick from Damien, so let's listen to that.
Hey guys, Damien back again with my sort of surprise jump out I actually found in previews. Now, back in the old Calibre days, I was a big fan of Saint Germain, which was written by Gary Reed, who was the publisher as far as I remember at the time. And from Transfusion Publishing, they actually have Saint Germain, The Magnus and Other Tales trade paperback. This actually collects the entire Magnus storyline is the secret agreement between Magnus and Beelzebub is revealed. The price is Magnus's daughter, Lilith. It is an interesting read. It's actually based on the myth of Saint Germain, who has appeared throughout history. Or the character of Saint Germain has appeared at every major turning point. And it's literally the whole series was about him actually going through and finding, you know, explaining what he's seen and what he hasn't seen, if he's been at, like, the fall of the Tsars in Russia, if he had been dealing with Genghis Khan, you name it, he was apparently there. So, really, if you haven't actually heard of Saint Germain before, really do some research with it, but I love this book. Now, it is a black-and-white book, 144 pages, $17.99. I still really recommend it because it's something that I was reading, you know, 10 years ago, and I just couldn't get enough of. It wasn't sort of coming out that regularly. It was sort of with that reboot with Caliber where you had Seekers and the Robin Hood, which was actually the female Robin, you know, R-O-B-Y-N. So if you haven't seen it, I would check it out, guys. Okay.
And also on page 46, we've got another pick from Jason.
It'll be 346.
346, sorry.
Hey, John and Bob, this is Jason Wood of 11 O'Clock Comics with my final recommendation for the month. That can be found on page 346 of this month's previews. It's by Top Shelf, and I'm talking about the Veeps hardcover. That's V-E-E-P-S, as in vice presidents. This is written by Bill Kelter and illustrated by Wayne Schellebarger. I'm not particularly familiar with either of those gentlemen's work, so you may ask yourself, why am I recommending this? Well, because it just sounds like a real yarn. It's a 180-page hardcover, black and white, and effectively it looks like it takes a illustrated, very funny, tongue-in-cheek look at our American vice presidents. And you might say, why would I care about that? Well, if you're a fan of American history, that's reason enough, but let me read you a snippet from the solicitation, and I think they do a far better job than I could in enticing you to give this a try. It's a tired but true cliche that every American vice president is just a heartbeat away from the most powerful job in the world, a job they've often never really interviewed for. Who are these people? We all know about the one who shot his hunting partner in the face, but how about the tavern owner who once married one of his slaves and then sold her at auction when she tried to leave him? Or the one whose president went to his death regretting that he hadn't had his vice president hanged? Or the one who was too frequently inebriated to serve out the whole of his term? Over more than 200 years, the American voters have sent a platoon of rogues, cowards, drunks, featherweights, doddering geriatrics, bigots, and atrocious spellers to Washington, D.C. to sit one bullet, cerebral hemorrhage, or case of pneumonia away from the highest office in the land. Veeps tells the sordid, head-scratching, perversely entertaining story of these men we've chosen to ride shotgun in the biggest rig in democracy without ever seriously considering the possibility that they might have to take the wheel. There you go, folks. Clearly, it's a very tongue-in-cheek look at American history, and I'm certainly looking forward to giving that a read. Again, it's on page 346 by Top Shelf by Bill Kelter and Wayne Schellebarger. Veeps hardcover, 180 pages, $19.95. That's all, guys. Thanks for a great month. Again, be sure to check out our new podcast, 11 O'Clock Comics. It's four guys, a lot of liquor, and some real comic talk. Take care, fellas.
That hardcover actually sounds pretty interesting. I hadn't noticed that before in previews. It seems like a bit more of a potential horror story than I might want to read.
Yeah, our vice president's motley crew of losers that they are up to, and including the current one. This is the reason why I love getting all these people to contribute on this show, because I totally scammed by this book when I was reading through previews the first time. So, you know, everything's going to catch a different person's eye, and this one got caught and pointed out to us. So it's a good thing.
I wonder if this will hit the Eisners for based on true story type stuff. Be funny. Okay, rounding out our selection of clips and stuff is our final one, which, of course, is by Damien. So let's listen to that.
Hey guys, Damien here again, and I'm here for my last pick for the month, which, since it's sort of the second month, you're going to know what it is. On page 370, it is The Living Corpse number 6. It's all out action again with the Frankenstein's monster and his butler ape, Jeeves, taking on a quartet of angry werewolves. The living corpse must face down a wolfed-out bride of Frankenstein with the fate of an Eskimo village in the balance. All of this, and back home, Lilith receives a surprise visit from an ancient evil. Now, I've been sort of talking about this book for some time now, and I hope some of you guys have actually been picking it up. I even actually, you know, gave a money-back challenge to Bob and John, which I don't think they actually picked up on, but I'm not going to hold it against them. It is a really fun book. If you want something that's sort of like a humor-based, horror-based book sort of thing, like you used to get at some point with the Vault of Horror type stuff, where there was that sort of comedy sort of basis there, this is something you really need to be having a look at. The actual art itself is more of a cartoony type feel to it as well, but it sort of fits the story, and it is a really cool book. So if you haven't actually picked it up yet, most of the stories are basically done in one, so you can pick up and start anywhere. So I really would recommend it if you haven't jumped on the series yet. I'm still getting it. I'm loving the book. It's just, you know, it's one of those fun books that you get to read. You've got everything out there that's ultra serious and this and that. This is the fun one that I get to read. It's sort of my little guilty pleasure for just having a good old laugh there. Okay then, I shall talk to you guys next month, and see you later. Back to Bob and John.
Well, that rounds out the comics section, but there's one other item I want to mention, and that's buried way back in the DVD section on page 541, and that's Star Trek The Complete Collection DVD, and that's DVD singular, not plural. When I saw this in the order form at first, I figured, you know, it must be one of the collections of TV shows, whatever. It's not. It's a collection of all of the Star Trek comic books prior to the stuff that IDW's been doing for the last year or so. So it's got stuff from 1967 on forward from Marvel, DC, Gold Key, Malibu, and Wildstorm. And this is done by Graphic Imaging Technology, which is the same company that did all the Marvel ones. You know, the Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, the Hulk, all those DVD collections. This goes for a list price of $49.99, and DCBS has this for $32.50, which is a really great deal because you're getting over 550 issues of the comic plus over 1,400 of the Star Trek comic strips from various newspaper publications. So if you're a big Star Trek fan and you like the comics and comic strips that they've done over the years, this is an excellent collection to go pick up for a very good price point.
It's certainly going to be the cheapest way to hunt down those Star Trek comics, especially, you know, the Gold Key and things like that. I think many people might be familiar with maybe the Marvel, DC, or Wildstorm runs, but that Gold Key stuff, maybe the Malibu stuff, those are a little harder to find. And certainly, you know, all that other stuff aside, the 1,400 newspaper strips would be virtually impossible to track down in any other format.
Yeah. And a lot of these stories were done by people like Peter David, who did a really long run for the DC stuff. And a lot of these are just really cool, really good Star Trek stories. So how bad was your total this month, Bob?
Actually, I'm kind of messing around with it right now. I think I have to add an extra thing, but it's under $1,000. Let's put it that way. After discount.
After discount, mine right now is sitting at about $610.07, which is a bit higher than I like. So I may have to see if there's something I can cut from it, because it's more than I want to be spending on this. But, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll spend it anyways.
Okay, here I go. I got my last one. Okay, so $978.92.
That's after discount?
After discount.
Damn, that's more than mine is at retail.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm getting things like the Quicksilver bust from Bowen. I mean, the Quicksilver statue from Bowen, the Odin and Aurora and North Star. The Odin mini bust is a large bust, so it's $80 at retail, and the Aurora and North Star is a 2-pack, so that's also $80. It's like $60 after discount. So like right there I've got over $200 just on my Bowen statues that I buy. You know, that's $247 just on statues and busts, which, you know, I like to collect, other people don't. And I got particularly hit by, there's four of those classic Marvel figurines this month. Two of them are large, an Abomination and a Sentinel. And after discount, I'm looking at $66 on the, before discount, it's $88, and it, you only get 25% off on those. So, right there, I'm looking at, over $300 of stuff just on, statues and the like. And then, of course, I'm getting Absolute Sandman and, some other of the, I'm getting a couple of Marvel Masterworks. So these things all take their toll upon me.
Yeah, it certainly can add up when you get a couple of those big ticket items.
Yeah, and that's really the difference. We get approximately the same amount of comics, but, then I go ahead and I buy these, ridiculously high ticket, type of things. And that's what usually kicks me up, $400 or so dollars, $500 more than you.
Yeah. Well, and because our totals tend to be up in this area, that's part of why we go through a place like Discount Comic Book Service, to where we can get that 40% off on a lot of things, sometimes 75% on a few items, etc. That's also why Ian over at Comic Timing and Brian over at Cryptographic and Just Bill over at Just Bill's Drawbox are going through Heroes Corner, where they get comparable discounts and stuff, although I don't think any of them get quite the quantity we do, but certainly lets them stretch their dollars as much as they can. But by all means, if you've got a good local comic book store that you're happy with, support them, help them stay in business and stuff. I regularly go to the local comic shop here to pick up things that I just wasn't on board to pre-order.
Yeah. If I was spending $100 to $150 a month, I would absolutely be buying it at the local comic shop. In fact, most people, I know at least on other podcasts, the amount that they spend in total on comics in a month, I will drop on ancillary stuff at my local I spend at least $100 a month at my local comic shop on top of what I get online. So it's not that I don't support local shops. I love the local shops, and I would wager that, what I go in and spend on ancillary stuff at my local shop is, what any one or two or more other people spend as their entire budget at local shops. So we do support local shops.
Yeah, they're an important part of the industry and the comic book community in general. And, that's what I do when I'm looking for a couple of things, like when you recommended Rogue Angel, when I decided to get into the Star Trek stuff, when you recommended the Marvel 1985 series. So I wanted to get into the Doctor Who and a few other things. I'll just head down to the local store, look at stuff on the rack, see what looks interesting that, flipping through previews I missed. There can be a lot of fun just looking at stuff on the rack. I find that very enjoyable at times.
Now, one thing I will say is that the local stores that do get my support are the ones that carry a wide variety of indie books from the back half of previews. If I go into a comic shop and they mostly just have Marvel, DC, maybe some Image, Dark Horse, Dynamite, something like that on the rack, that's not going to be a terribly interesting store to me. It's not going to be a store that I come back to unless they've got something else. Like maybe they've got like some good deals on, busts or toys, or maybe they've got a really extensive back issue collection. But my experience has been the stores that mostly concentrate on Marvel and DC, they don't have a whole lot else that holds my interest either, and I tend to not frequent those stores.
Yeah, well,
that's just me.
Well, that Marvel 1985, that was one of the few times I've had to go to a store to get a Marvel or DC book. Typically, when I'm going to a store, I'm looking for an independent title or maybe an Image or Dark Horse kind of thing. But, these are ones that, not every store is guaranteed to carry. So if you've got a good local store, by all means, like we're saying, support it. That's what we do.
Yep.
Yes.
I also want to thank all of the people who contributed. We had great contributions this month that helped me decide on a couple of items myself. Both for and against, and the whole point of this is to help people find the comics they're going to get the most enjoyment out of.
Right, and tune in again on Friday to listen to the creator interviews that we've got. We've got four interviews coming up. We've got A. David Lewis from Postcards, True Stories That Never Happened. That was out a while ago, and we didn't slide that interview in previously, so we're going to do that. That should still be available on back order and also on the racks. That was a very entertaining interview. We've got Dwight McPherson with M Theory. We've got the guys from the Division 18 trade paperback, and we have JP from a London Horror Comic. So listen to all those. See if you hear something you like. And I always like hearing creators talk about what they put out there. So it's fun. I like to have the opportunity that we have to actually talk to some of these guys personally. So it's great fun. And check it out on Friday. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate it. We've got the forums out there at www.comicbookpage.com. You can find our group on Facebook, and I send out announcements on there. And also have an entry on Comic Space that you can follow. And what else do we have, John? Twitter. We're on Twitter.
Yeah. And we have an open submission policy for these previews episodes, so if you're listening to this thinking, wow, we've gone for, 2 hours or so now, and we didn't cover something that you just think we absolutely should have, mention it to us next month, send in an MP3 clip, and we'll play that. I mean, we want to get as many different voices as possible, the widest diversity of comics possible, and, you know, if you've got a podcast, mention it in your clip. If you've got a website that people might find of interest or whatever, mention that. But certainly, you know, tell us about comics you think we ought to be reading that we're not.
And it's not just for other podcasts. If you're a listener and you just want to tell us about something that you like, let us know. We're very interested in hearing about it. And, you know, that's a great thing. I love to hear from folks who have nothing particularly else to pimp. Like when Lenny came on to talk about Glamour Puss, he gave me a whole different perspective on what Dave Sims doing with Glamour Puss. You know, I really appreciated the fact that he came on and shared that with us.
Yeah, that was cool. And likewise, if you're a creator and you either want to do an interview, get in touch with us, or by all means, feel free to submit your clips on your own work. We have no problems with that. Our goal is to let people know about comics they're going to enjoy, so whatever we can do to help make that happen, we're going to try to.
And that email address is theguys@comicbookpage.com, theguys@comicbookpage.com. Thanks for listening.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.